side is right. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us, to some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, everybody, welcome. Good Tuesday. Cold, rainy. Always have to, a little bit of the weather report every day, no, but cold and rainy, getting colder and colder and colder. So we're incomplete today because Tony is not with us.
Tony is not.
What has happened to Tony?
There.
He slept in?
He slept in. Blanket stuck.
Because he works all night.
He is working. Yes.
So that people don't misunderstand that he's not a lazy man.
No. He works all night.
He
works the graveyard shift.
Anyway, so, and then Geraldine, you're not attentive to the day that what is today? Today is Veterans
Day. Today is a holiday, a day on which banks are closed.
And you didn't know that.
I did not connect all that.
You didn't connect the dots.
I'm not the same person I used to be.
Well, you know, that could be a good thing. It could be not a very good thing, but you know, so
I know.
I'm so sorry. So anyways, you were out fighting the weather and
traffic.
Traffic. There's not too much traffic out there.
Shouldn't be. There is.
Is there?
Yeah.
Is everything closed?
But Mateo is an excellent driver.
Yeah, he is.
He really is.
Cristina's father.
Yeah.
El chofer. Yes. El chofer.
The chauffeur.
Mm-hmm. The chauffeur. Anyway. Anyway, so you had a fun morning. It was adventurous, right?
Yes.
La aventura. The adventure. Yeah. Yeah, today is Veterans Day. So, no, Tony's not with us. We miss him already. We miss him. So, but hopefully he's... you said he is sleeping or he's...
He just woke up. He called
me
5 minutes
ago. So
he
can't make it in.
No.
All right. Nick, how you doing? You got in here pretty well? Okay.
Yeah, hanging in there and I'm doing all right.
Good.
This morning, my mom wasn't feeling all right, but she's feeling a lot better right now, too. Yesterday, she was a little under the weather.
Really?
But she's doing all right now. And I wish my dad a happy Veterans Day, too, because he served in Vietnam.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
My brother did the same thing. So, happy Veterans Day, Dad, and everyone else,
That's
too.
Right. Yes. To all the veterans.
All the good veterans.
Absolutely. Oh, jeez.
That's why the flag was half-staffed this morning over at the school when I was coming.
Are the kids in school?
Yes, they are.
Okay. Public school kids. Our kids are Catholic.
We're Catholic.
Oh, all right.
We're Catholics.
We're Catholics.
Because, everybody's saying different things. I'm a little confused because banks closed today.
The public schools are closed, I think.
Yeah.
I think the...
I don't know.
I believe so. Well, you don't know.
I wouldn't want to venture to say.
Is Jerry correct? Banks are closed today?
Yes.
She knows.
Yes.
Yeah, because,
all the federal.
I attempted to get into one, and it was closed.
Well, I'll try to figure that out. That was one stop I had to make after here.
So
I'll look and see.
All right, yeah. Anyway, they're closed for sure. You have to break in if you want to get in, so. Yeah, anyway. Wow. So, Veterans Day, I was reading, and Christine, you're doing fine today, too. I can see that.
Yes, I'm very happy because you got the letter done and you translated it.
I'm so proud of myself.
I'm happy for you and I'm happy for myself.
Yes.
So I started last week. I did it last week as well, and...
I was on the road.
It's such a, it may not seem like a big thing to anybody, but for me it's a big thing because...
And you are multi-talented.
I'm multi-talented. Yes. What can I say? So I mean, that's just the way it is. But no, I'm just joking. But no, the fact that I tell you what helps is when I'm in the car, I listen to the radio in Spanish, and I believe that is
it does
just
help.
Really, really helped me. And especially ESPN, the sports, ESPN, because I get the Spanish from the different countries. The different broadcasters are from different
countries.
So it gives you a chance to.
They think that, we all speak Spanish, we speak the same, but it depends on what country you're from.
Mm-hmm.
It's different. It's a little different.
Absolutely. And even more so if you come from Spain, you know. But anyways, I started right after the, I started right before the Mass, didn't I? Because I was in prayer and right before the morning Mass at 6:15. I had my first paragraph. And it was just so you're kind of in the, this is in English, of course, and so it's, you're kind of in that mindset. I had to stop for the Mass, and didn't waste any time, did I? This morning, after the Mass, went right back into the chapel, and I wrote the whole letter in English, and then from there, I thought, you know what, I was happy that I got it done early enough, so I'm going to translate it, and I'm going to do it myself and into Spanish, and I didn't. It didn't take me long at all.
And it's a good letter, yes.
Yeah, thanks. Anyway, today, if we can start, I was just reading this morning, and today is also the Feast of St. Martin of Tours, which is a very appropriate feast day on Veterans Day. I'll explain that to you a little bit later. But I wanted to start by sharing this. I was reading this morning. This is written by Sean McAfee. It's called the Veterans Day in the Body of Christ. And he speaks about how his life has been blessed with amazing opportunities. One of those was joining the armed forces, specifically, in his case, the U.S. Air Force. My father was a career man in the Air Force as well. And, in fact, I've got his hat upstairs. Mm-hmm. You know, fits me perfectly. I remember when, after he died, you know, as the family was going through the... you know, his sayings, and, you know, certain, if you want this, you can, people take certain things, you know, as keepsakes, right?
Sure.
And I saw his hat, his military hat, and I thought, and I remember as a boy, you know, wearing that, but it was too big, right?
Yes.
It was too big. And so I hadn't tried it on for so many, many years from the time I was a boy, so I saw it. I hadn't seen it in many, many years because I have been a man for many years, and I have been away from home for many, many years. So I saw it, and I thought, I'd like to have that, his hat, his cap or his hat, for the Air Force, with the eagle on it and all that, and I put it on thinking it was going to be
too big,
and it fit me a perfect fit. I mean, a perfect fit.
You grew into the hat.
Yes,
father.
I grew into the hat.
Mm-hmm.
And then I looked in the mirror and I thought, boy, my father's looking back at me. You know,
so yes.
It was really quite a kind of a touching moment for me. But
I believe it.
So anyway, but he was a career man in the Air Force. So Sean goes on to say, he says, it was something I dreamed about since he was a child, since childhood. But when I wasn't home, I put on my dad. He put on my dad's jacket, the BDU jacket, and his hat. He's doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just. I was the youngest of three brothers, all of whom joined the military. I served for 4 years as an avionics technician, maintaining 22 F-16s in the bitterly cold Alaskan Elson Air Force Base in Alaska. My eldest, Alan, was a corps man in the Navy, which meant he was actually deployed with Marines, held that insignia, and belonged to Marine units. My other brother, Trey, is a chemical officer in the Army. So between the three of us, we covered each of the armed services. My family tradition doesn't stop there. He says, my father's a retired Army warrant officer. My mother was an E-6 in the Army. My father's father was a Korean War and Vietnam era veteran. His wife was a Navy nurse. My grandfather was also in the Army, as was his father and his. Between all of us, there are four Purple Hearts and countless medals.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So since setting foot on American soil, McAfee has protected the freedoms and value of this beautiful nation in some uniform, at some post, for some time, in some way. The heritage has affected my very worldview, my sense of security, my obligation to take care of others, and most notably, my willingness and visible desire to lead. We're a happy few, a band of McAfees. So he says, within years of honorably serving my country, I converted to the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I can't tell you which meant more in the moment, graduating basic training on the 4th of July or confirmation on Easter Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I've noticed many similarities between the military and the church since my conversion, many of which have given me a deeper appreciation for the other. One sticks out in particular, he says, the desire to serve and the familial bonds between families within. And by the way, this is it's so true. You know, when we speak of the church, we think of the universality of the church, mm-hmm. right? And that was something growing up in the military, in the Air Force, our neighborhoods, because we lived on the base housing, and even when we lived off base, we were always in these military compounds, or you want to military neighborhoods, where everybody was military, mm-hmm. everybody. In fact, the year that my father was in Vietnam, most of the men were gone, and it was all the women, living, you know, we all lived on the same blocks, and so the mothers, the women, they took care of each other the husbands were in Vietnam. Even to the point that, you know, when somebody got sick, you know, everybody, I remember during that year, my mother had to learn how to drive. You know, she didn't know how to drive until my father went to Vietnam. It was only after he went to Vietnam that she learned how to drive, but everybody helps out everybody. And we had all the kids, we all came down with the mumps, you know. You remember that? You never hear about that today.
But not anymore.
Is that even a sickness today? I don't know. In those days, everybody, we all had them.
You had all the mumps.
There were eight of us, and we all got the mumps. And then when we finished with that, then my mother came down. That was kind of odd for an adult.
Yes.
But she came down with the mumps, and everybody, you know, it was amazing. It was the ladies came, and they cleaned the house, and they cooked the meals and all that kind of stuff. And in those days, that's the way it was. But the sense of family, the family bond, is so real, and also the fact that it's so, you know, we grew up with Asians, Latinos, African Americans. You know, we were just a mix of all kind of people from all
over the world.
All over the, mm-hmm. Right, and that's what defined the neighborhood. So in that sense, I see what he's saying about this similarity between the military and the church in that respect. But he says that each soldier joins the military expecting to serve. We know what we know what we have signed up for we know what we've signed up for, and we're willing to give it all for the cause. We're willing to give it all for the cause. We call it signing the dotted line. I can still remember the expression and words of my drill instructor the day we finished Warrior Week and were handed our Airman's coin, rather. He said, expect to deploy, expect it, expect to go to Afghanistan or Iraq, maybe even Iran, if they don't wise up. You might be working on jets, you might be working in the clinic. I don't care if you're working in finance, you better expect to deploy. I'm telling you this so that you remember the training you've received here. I have countless airmen who email or call me to tell me thank you for preparing them, because they deployed weeks after getting to their first duty station. So remember, he said, this is this week. Remember this. Remember the work you've put in. Remember the feeling you have now and why you joined. You're now United States Airmen. And he says, I'm damn proud of each of you. Then they play the national anthem and gave each of us our coin. Only weeping followed from the 30 or so men in my flight. Mm-hmm. It's very moving, but, you know, be prepared to deploy, he said, the drill sergeant. Then, he says, 10 months later, after I got out of tech school, I was sent to Alaska to the mighty 354th Fighter Squadron. We were told we were deploying in the fall. It was April. Come August, we were told it would be in the winter. Come winter, we were told that our 22 F-16s were being sent off 2x2 to be modified to shoot lasers and not bombs. We turned into a training squadron. He says, I never deployed. My friends in our brother unit, the 355th, were A-10 maintainers. They deployed and redeployed. Both of my brothers deployed. Now, he says, this hung on me for some time, even after I got out of the military. I mean, I was upset that I never deployed, that I never went. In other words, I didn't go to Afghanistan or Iraq mm-hmm. or Iran. Mm-hmm. Rather than play Call of Duty, I played Top Gun training. It was something that my father and my father-in-law told me during my service years, though they that had expelled this thought from my mind. They said, someone has to guard the base. Someone has to keep us safe at home. And I sleep better knowing you're doing that every day. That's what they told him, you know, because he wanted to deploy. You can understand, young man, he wants to deploy. He wants to be out there. He wants to go, in essence, go to war, right? But he didn't. He wasn't deployed, and that bothered him. But again, you know, his father said, and his father-in-law said, someone has to guard the base. Someone has to keep us safe at home, and I sleep better knowing you're doing that every day. So genuinely, I'll remember those words for the rest of my life, he says. Truly, those words apply to our lives as Christians. We sometimes, this is the point of the his commentary here, we sometimes get the false idea that if we don't act radically, we're not contributing. Or we get the idea that suffering is the only way to serve.
Mm-hmm.
Those can be extreme cases. More often, though, we get vocational envy, where we don't think we're doing as much as a priest or those in religious communities, the monks, the saints, the martyrs, etc. We think that if we don't deploy, we didn't serve. It's a disastrous and restrictive ideology. The truth is that we all contribute to the service of and the advancement of the kingdom of God. Truly, the laity alone have the ability to infiltrate the world. The laity are the boots on the ground. By the way, just speaking of that, I was in the school on Sunday. I was visiting the students at different classes, mm-hmm. There were some parents as well, or adults, I should say, being prepared also for the sacraments. And we were talking, and I don't know how it came up. About the priests, the gentleman who's going to be getting married here, he told me what parish he belonged to. I think he said he was part of St. Rita, or he went to St. Rita's school, went to St. Rita Parish on the south side. I said, those are Augustinian priests, Augustinian priests. And he didn't know what that meant. And I says, the Augustinians. I said, the Augustinians, I'm a resurrectionist, and there are Franciscans and there are Jesuits. The Pope happens to be a Jesuit. I studied under the Jesuits. And then, of course, there are the diocesan priests, those who belong to, ordained and belong to a specific diocese. And he didn't understand it. Many people don't.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know that there are those distinctions. So he said, I don't understand. I says, well, it's like the military. So you got the Air Force, you got the Army, you've got the Navy, you've got the Marines. The Green Beret. I've never heard of the Green Beret in a long time. I'm assuming there's still such a thing, is there? But you get the point. So you got all these different branches of the service. And so it is in the priesthood as well. You've got Franciscans, Jesuits,
Dominicans.
Resurrectionist Dominicans, Servites. There's probably hundreds of, at least 100, over. I'm certain over 100 different religious priests, and then you've got the diocesan. So the religious are more, they have a greater freedom to be able to go beyond the diocese, a given diocese. They could be in the missions in South America, they could be in the missions in Africa, they could be at the universities in Europe, wherever, you know. So we're not bound to a specific diocese or an archdiocese. But in any case, the point here is that he's making the point that the truth is that you don't have to be a priest, you don't have to be in a religious community, you don't have to be a monk, you don't have to even be a saint or a martyr. We're all called to be saints. But speaking of the laity, he says, truly the laity alone have the ability to infiltrate the world. The laity are the boots on the ground. A lot of truth in that. And the Council Fathers of Vatican II put it this way, since the laity, in accordance with their state of life, live in the midst of the world and its concerns, they are called by God to exercise their apostolate in the world like leaven with the ardor of the Spirit of Christ. This is from the Second Vatican Council. So the significance of the laity doesn't stop there. Vatican II also tells us that the success of the mission of the Church depend on the services of the laity as those who share in the role of Christ as priest, prophet, and king. The laity have their work cut out for them in the life and activity of the Church. Their activity is so necessary within the Church communities that without it, the apostolate of the pastors is often unable to achieve its full effectiveness. And so baptism, as he writes, baptism as our commission and graduation. The laity derive the right and the duty of the apostolate from their union with Christ, the head, incorporated into Christ's mystical body through baptism and strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit through confirmation. They are assigned to the apostolate by the Lord himself. And as far as their uniform, therefore, they take the whole armor of God that you may be able to understand, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand thereby, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace, besides all this, taking the shield of faith with which you can quench all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So he's quoting Paul in his letter to the Ephesians. So the body of Christ is big, and there's room for everyone to serve. There's so many ways to serve and endless opportunities. So Sean McAfee says, what I learned is that my part in the body of Christ is unique as is yours. I stopped trying to be like someone else. I stopped envying the vocation of others, their holiness, and even had to stop envying the popularity of other Catholics. To let God do what he wants through me, I simply started realizing that God has plans for me, and I cannot hold myself up to the saints and other living other models as if I had to be them in order to be great. God makes me great, not me. So I tell you this, expect to serve, expect it. And he says, go tell a veteran that you appreciate them. We never tire this. Happy Veterans Day. So that's his comparing being in the military to being in the church, the mystical body of Christ. Very interesting, isn't it?
It's well done. It really is.
Yeah, it really is.
And that we share.
We share.
We share. We don't have to think if we're not dominating the whole thing,
right,
then we don't matter. It's not true.
That's right. That's right. Everybody has a place.
Yes.
And you can't, and this is the beauty of the church, the universality of the church, and the you get the rich, the poor, you get the, no matter what, where you come from, what country, it's no matter whether you're male, female, whether you're super smart or whether you are lacking perhaps in, you don't have the capacity perhaps for the books, because some people just don't. But it's the saints, they cover the gamut, right? They're
right.
From the point is that we, as he said, that we recognize that we're called to serve. Serve first and foremost, but Christ Jesus, and to allow Jesus to reproduce his life in us, to be receptive, to be disposed. That means we have to go to boot camp, though, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what...
And we all have a mission. You know, when they say mission impossible, but with God, all things are possible.
Absolutely. So, all right. So with that, we'll take a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll look at St. Martin of Tours, who appropriately is... This is his feast day, and appropriately, at least in the United States, because Veterans Day, I don't know that that's a holiday unique to our country, I think, isn't it? Or,
I don't know.
But anyway, we'll come back and talk about St. Martin of Tours. So don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Today is Veterans Day. Maybe someone in your family, maybe someone you know, answered the call to defend the nation. Today, Winds of Change salutes all who have served.
Everything we think we know about our universe is wrong.
There is a crisis in cosmology.
This is the moment of truth.
All these things are rather strange, and we don't know why they're occurring right now.
We are in a special place. I do believe that the universe was created by God.
It's an exciting time for cosmology because everything has changed.
this idea that we're not in any special place in the universe. There's something wrong with that.
So they sent up a satellite and they find out these temperature disturbances throughout the universe were all pointing to the Earth.
When I see how barren the other planets are and how bountiful the Earth is, something's different and we're in just the right spot.
We seem to find ourselves in a part of the universe that is perfectly tuned for life.
Life is extremely rare, and that we are in fact the only life in our entire universe. Now I actually think we're very significant.
The Earth is a very special place, no two ways about it.
Tomorrow, Father Tom Coyes talks to Richard Delano, the producer of this motion picture, The Principal, on Winds of Change. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to His people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Today is Veterans Day. Happy Veterans Day to all the veterans, all those who have served our nation and continue to serve the country and the armed forces, men and women. Today is a feast of St. Martin of Tours, which is appropriate, you know, for Veterans Day, because St. Martin of Tours, he was of pagan parents, born around the year 316, so we're going back to the earlier days of the church, and he was in the military, and he gave up military life and was baptized, and soon after he founded a monastery in France, and where he led a monastic life with under the direction of Saint Hilary. Was ordained a priest and chosen bishop of Tours. So he provided a beautiful example of the ideal good pastor, founding other monasteries and educating the clergy and preaching the gospel to the poor. He died in 397. So, but I have to share with you because it was really beautiful. I was reading the account of his death. You know, Sulpicius, who was a historian, Severus, he actually writes in, elsewhere. I'd read where when he went to visit the bishop, Saint Martin of Tours, he was just amazed at that the bishop, because in those days, you know, I guess. Well, they were the princes of the church, mm-hmm. right?
Protocols.
Yeah, then, because yeah. they were very much, yeah. you know, and but that this man was being served by this bishop. I mean, really being served. He said he felt that the bishop was no felt himself to be no better than anybody, mm-hmm. and shouldn't be, you know, because right. The bishop is not to be served, but to serve, is
mm-hmm. yes,
as Jesus said, right. But anyway, Saint Martin was very, very much concerned about the lives of the clergy, you know, the priests, that they lived exemplary lives, mm-hmm. And so there's always, you know, it's amazing, any saint, every saint is a reformer, right? The church recognizes that she's always in need of reform, because as human beings, our natural inclination mm-hmm. is to selfishness and the things of this world, the yeah. things of the flesh, yeah. and all that. And so we have to be very intentional about staying on this narrow path, keeping our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus and serving Jesus first and foremost, and in serving Jesus, then we naturally serve others. So St. Martin was, in that sense, a reformer, as are all the saints. They're all reformers. As we were talking about yesterday, we were talking about the what is shocking to so many people is that there are sinners in the church. Mm-hmm. That the church, there is, but that's the reality. You know, Jesus, he says, you're going to always have, you know, sin is inevitable. You forgive seven times a day. Peter says, that's what the scripture says, a just man, we sin seven times a day. We talked about that yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even when Peter said, well, Lord, how many times a day should I forgive my brother? Seven times a day? And Jesus says, no, Peter, not seven, but 70 times seven times. But the point being that we can't excuse ourselves. We have to have great sensitivity to God, to the things of God, and to all things sacred. And so, but in any case, St. Martin, this is Sulpicius Severus, is this historian's account of an eyewitness account of the death of St. Martin. He says that Martin knew long in advance the time of his death, and he told his brethren that it was near. And so while he found himself obliged to make a visitation to the parish of Candace, and the clergy of that church were quarreling, they were arguing, and he wanted to reconcile them. And although he knew that his days on earth were few, he didn't refuse to undertake the journey for such a purpose, for he believed that he would bring his virtuous life to a good end if, by his efforts, he could bring peace to the church, if peace would be restored to the church, to the parish, to these quarreling priests. That's what I like to be by myself, you know, so I don't want to end up in quarrel with other priests.
Your priest brothers?
Exactly. So he spent some time there at the parish and in the church where he stayed, and peace was restored. And he was planning to return to the monastery when suddenly he began to lose his strength. He summoned his brethren and told them he was dying. And all who heard this were overcome with grief, and in their sorrow they cried to him with one voice, "This is Father, why are you deserting us? Who will care for us when you are gone? Savage wolves will attack your flock. And who will save us from their bite when our shepherd is struck down? We know you long to be with Christ, but your reward is certain and will not be any less for being delayed. So you will do better to show pity for us rather than forsake us." In other words, as if, you know, you don't have to die, you know, you'd stay with us. And St. Martin broke into tears, for he was a man in whom the compassion of Christ was continually revealed, great compassion. And so turning to our Lord, he made this reply to their pleading. He says, "Lord, if your people still need me, I am ready for the task. Your will be done." Now, here was a man who the words cannot describe, right? Death could not defeat him, nor toil dismay him. He was quite without a preference of his own. He neither feared to die nor refused to live. With eyes and hands always raised to heaven, he never withdrew his unconquered spirit from prayer. It happened that some priest who had gathered at his bedside suggested that he should give his poor body some relief by lying on his other side. And he answered, "Allow me, brothers, to look toward heaven rather than at the earth, so that my spirit may set on the right course when the time comes for me to go on my journey to the Lord." As he spoke these words, he saw the devil standing near. And he says, "Why do you stand there, you bloodthirsty brute?" he cried. "Murderer, you will not have me for your prey. Abraham is welcoming me into his embrace." And with these words, he gave up his spirit to heaven. Filled with joy, Martin was welcomed by Abraham. Thus he left this life a poor and lowly man and entered heaven rich in God's favor. It's very beautiful, isn't it?
It is.
Very beautiful. The story of St. Martin, who was a soldier. He was in the military. He converted to the faith, was baptized. He became a monk and then eventually a bishop. but very, very much concerned for the good of the church and the holiness of the church and the holiness of her members. It's very beautiful, very beautiful. We were talking the other day or last week about the last words of the saints, you know, some mm-hmm. Didn't bring it with me now, but there's so many beautiful things that are recorded, you know, how they departed this life. Actually, this morning as I was doing the letter, I should have brought it down here with me, but I didn't, because the gospel for this coming Sunday is the parable of the stewards, right? The good stewards versus the bad stewards, those mm-hmm. who take the gifts, we'll translate it into what is the Lord trying to tell us, but that we've been entrusted with much, and what we do with what we've been given will determine, you know, how we die and what awaits us, you know, in eternity. So those gifts, what are those gifts? But the gift of, how did I break that down into three different, well, certainly the gift of the church, because it's through the church that we are nurtured and come to have intimacy with God, because God has properly revealed himself in and through the church, right? He founded the church. And so through Jesus the head, we be in the body. And so the church is the school of God's love, right? It's where we're nurtured in Christ. It's where we have access to the sacraments, to the Word of God, the Scripture, and the sacraments, that encounter with Christ, which is beyond human comprehension, where we can really hear the words of forgiveness. You know, I forgive you in confession, where we are fed with the hidden manna, the Eucharist, the body of Christ, the body and the blood, the soul and divinity of Christ, where Jesus gives himself to us, that we not collapse as we go on our way, that we be ever giving witness as we make our way through this life. So the church, morality, right? Mm-hmm. The Lord has entrusted us with principles, with morality. You know, we obey these commandments. We live within these parameters so that we can not be the cause of division, or that we not be those who diminish others, nor do we diminish ourselves, but that we live in the integrity of who we are as created in the image and likeness of God, with a mission to care for the needs of others and to set an example for others, so that we're not careless and we just don't go about and do as we please, but we understand that this is this is what the Lord has laid out for us, to be obedient to the law that is written to our hearts, right? So it's a gift. So how are we stewards of that gift, the commandments that have been given, so that we can add to the proper order in society? And then, of course, the goods of the earth, right? Yeah. How we safeguard and protect the goods of the earth, so that we're not, in a moderate way, so that we're not, raping the earth, or what should I say, but abusing mm-hmm. the earth, but that we take the goods of the earth and that we use them in a proper way, because they're given to us for our own benefit as we make our way through this life towards the next. But as the parable goes on, I don't have it here with me, and I didn't bring the letter, but in the end, the good stewards will be received into God's kingdom. And it'll be, because I'm relating this parable to the Paul's letter that I just read about, you know, be alert, be sober, be awake, be vigilant, because you don't know the day nor the hour, but do know that the devil will come like a thief in the night. Not the devil, but death will come mm-hmm. like a thief in the night. And just when you're saying peace and security, you know, that it's going to take you off guard. But for those who are living in God and faith, they won't be taken off guard. It'll just be a very peaceful passage, a passing from one room into a next. You know, there won't be the experience, so to speak, of, because there's not, like St. Martin, mm-hmm. Whether he's alive, I mean, it was with no effort that he departs from this life into the next. I love those words, right? You know, that why do you stand there? Mm-hmm. Or he says, no, allow me, brothers, to look toward heaven rather than at the earth, so that my spirit may set on the right course mm-hmm. when the time comes for me to go on my journey to the Lord. And then as he spoke those words, he saw the devil standing near. And why do you stand there, you bloodthirsty brute, you murderer? You will not have me for your prey. Abraham is welcoming me, is there to welcome me into his embrace. And with that, he gave up his spirit to heaven. So this is a, but if we don't live in God, if we're not nurturing life in God, and again, it's not just our effort, but God provides the grace. That's the thing, we have to open ourselves to that grace, right?
Yes.
And if we do, then God makes us prepared for all things. And but if we don't, then as the Lord says in the parable, there will be darkness and wailing and the grinding of teeth. This is a powerful, powerful image that Jesus uses to kind of to frighten us and to awaken us to the fact that, you know, we have a certain, not a certain, but we have quite a bit, we have a large amount of control over our destiny, to the, because we make the decision whether to accept or reject the gift that God hands out to or gives, right? So, anyway, what are you guys thinking?
No, true.
True. All right.
I was thinking Sunday, I was ready to go. I just felt very, very much in a place where, okay, ready.
Yeah, thank God you didn't go. But I mean, it would have been okay, right?
It would have been okay,
would have been okay.
Yeah.
Well, there are moments like that, aren't there?
Mm-hmm.
And then there are other moments when, you know, I mean, I wonder if God came, if he would come knocking on your door at that on Sunday, if you would have said, okay, yeah.
I would hope so, but I don't know.
No, none of us know.
I don't know.
So anyway, well, let's think about that while we take a break. Okay. Let's just think about that. And we'll come back and I'll revisit the gospel, yesterday's gospel. I think we started to get into that, and I don't think we did justice to it, so we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, and Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Today is Veterans Day. Maybe someone in your family, maybe someone you know, answered the call to defend the nation. Today, Winds of Change salutes all who have served.
Everything we think we know about our universe is wrong.
There is a crisis in cosmology.
This is the moment of truth.
All these things are rather strange, and we don't know why they're occurring right now.
We are in a special place. I do believe that the universe was created by God.
It's an exciting time for cosmology because everything has changed.
This idea that we're not in any special place in the universe, there's something wrong with that.
So they set up this satellite and they find out these temperature disturbances throughout the universe were all pointing to the Earth.
When I see how barren the other planets are and how bountiful the Earth is, something's different and we're in just the right spot.
We seem to find ourselves in a part of the universe that is perfectly tuned for life.
Life is extremely rare, and that we are in fact the only life in our entire universe. Now I actually think we're very significant.
The Earth is a very special place, no two ways about it.
Tomorrow, Father Tom Coyes talks to Richard Delano, the producer of this motion picture, The Principal, on Winds of Change. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener-supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link, Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. What's today? Tuesday, huh?
Tuesday.
Today's Tuesday. So, because I was working all morning on this thing, and it's just like yesterday, too, I was, getting caught up. There's this point where you feel the energy just kind of going out of you, and that's where I kind of feel like I'm at that point right now. But anyway, Let me just talk a little bit about, because it was such a beautiful moment for me, I thought, you know, and for this little child. And I think it's okay to share this because it was so beautiful. But mm-hmm. this, a mother had called, and God bless a mother, you know, because she cares enough about her child that the child was caught, you know, stealing, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so calls and brings the child to the office. So we sit down and says, okay, you know, what's your name? And he told me his name, and I knew him, but I mean, I just wanted to hear from him, you know, mm-hmm. what does the name mean? And wasn't quite sure. I said, well, we're gonna have to check that out, you know. And I'm not going to say the name because I don't want to. No,
his identity.
Yeah, exactly. But the point is so we started talking, and you know, I said, why did you do it? You know, and those kinds of things. And he's crying, you know, because it's embarrassing, right? Mm-hmm. It's an embarrassment. Mm-hmm. And so the mother, she was there and upset and worried because, of course, she doesn't want him to grow up to become a kleptomaniac, right?
Right.
So. And talk about, you know, this isn't who you are. I said, you know, this isn't who you are. When God looks at you, he doesn't, you know, this is not who you are. He says, you diminish yourself and diminish others. And, you know, what is the golden rule? What's the golden rule? But do unto others what as you would have them do unto you. I mean, how would you feel if people took things from you, you know? And certainly you want to be able to trust others, and you want people to trust you, right?
Yeah.
And you want to be able to trust yourself, and little sin develops into bigger sin, and we lose our sensitivity. And the mm-hmm. fact that he's crying, you know, it says, you know, you've got this great sensitivity, so you're able to distinguish between what is right, what is wrong. And then it came to mind the story of Zacchaeus, a little man, you know. And I said, do you know that little story? And do you know the story of Zacchaeus? And he says, no, I didn't. Didn't remember. I said, yeah, he was a little man, you know, and I said, Jesus was going to Jericho about 18, I think it was about 18 miles. This is about 18 miles from Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And Jericho is one of the oldest cities in the world. I think it is the oldest city. Or is it the oldest or the deepest level of the earth? Anyway, I think it's the oldest city in the world, Jericho. But anyway, Jesus was going to Jericho, and of course, I said, nobody liked Zacchaeus. Nobody liked him because he was a tax collector. He stole from the people. He took things from the people. So this child understood that. You know, I said, he's a little man. And so Jesus is coming to Jericho, and this man had no friends because nobody liked him, Zacchaeus. But everybody wanted to see Jesus, and Zacchaeus, being a little man, he couldn't get to, because the people lined up like you do for a parade,
mm-hmm.
and so the little man, nobody would let Zacchaeus get in, and so he decided, well, I'll just climb the tree, the sycamore tree. So he did that, and I said, you know, to his surprise, when Jesus was walking down the road, he looked up and he saw him, and he says, hey, Zacchaeus, come down, because I want to stay at your house today. And Zacchaeus, he came down quickly, you know. But the thing was, how does he know my name?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because this is Jesus knows your name. So I was telling this little guy, you know, little kid, you know, says, you know, Jesus knows you. He knows you by name. He knows you better than you know yourself. And so I said, Zacchaeus came down, and I said, you know, Zacchaeus said he received Jesus into his home and into his heart. And he says, Jesus, you know, he says, Lord, he says, I'm going to, everything I took from anybody, I'm going to give it back. Going to give it back, and even more. And I says, that little man became a big man that day, right? Yeah. He grew into a mm-hmm. big man that day, and people began to like him, and they began to respect him, and they were amazed at how this man changed. So the little boy is just, you know, as he's listening, he's just so taken up into the story, you
yes.
know? And but the point is, you know, so Jesus, when he sees you, he's not... He knows this isn't you, mm-hmm. and we know. We look and we say, "This isn't you. You're not a stealer. You're not a thief." You know, so you got to be true to yourself. But it was a precious moment because I could feel this little guy, you know, being restored to his mm-hmm. own sense of dignity, right? And so then I said, "Well, you know, your name. That's okay. That name. I said that name. I think that name is in the Bible." I wish I could say it on the air, but I'm not going to. And I said,
right.
that name's in the Bible. Let's but I wasn't quite sure who he was or what he did. I couldn't remember, but I knew he was a king. And I says, let's check this out. So I had my computer right there, you know. This is the nice thing about the computers, right? So he's sitting there. So I said, oh, yeah, okay. So, oh, yeah, he was a king. He was a king. And let's see, was he a good king or a bad king? And I was checking that out. Nah, he was a good king. And he became a king at 8 years old. By the way, this is a little boy that doesn't know his father.
Yeah.
So this guy, this little guy, his father died when he was 8 years old. And so he became king at eight years old. And grew up to be, let's see, what kind of a king did he grow up to be? Because there are good kings and bad kings. And I found, wow, he grew up to be a very good king. He reformed the temple. He translated the laws of God. The laws of God, can you imagine that? Mm. He translated the laws of God, these very laws that are written into our hearts so that we can distinguish between what is right and wrong, what is good, what is evil. And so that we know that, you know, to steal is not good. It's bad. It is sinful. And so anyway, you get the point. I think I was more excited after meeting with him than he was, you know. But yes. It's always a beautiful thing to see somebody lifted up, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. To see somebody restored to dignity. And this is the mission of the church, really. This is something that, you know. Certainly the church is criticized for this and that. And constructive, legitimate criticisms, you know, and all that. But we so often we don't put attention to the great good that is the mission of the church. But to see this kid, you know, as he's crying in the beginning, because he's sad, he's embarrassed, he's, you know, but to see his dignity restored.
Yes,
beautiful thing, and just through the use of scripture, you're just going into the Bible and extrapolating from the Bible, you know, something that applies to his life. I mean, this is what we've got to do.
And Father, this is why it's so wonderful that you hear confessions 4 days a week.
Yeah,
because it gives people the opportunity to have that feeling,
right.
To know that they're worth something.
I've said it before, Jerry, that you know, and I wish I could spend more time in the confessional,
yes.
Just that my time is fully consumed. But at least, you know, the 4 days, I try to do it 5 days, but I just needed that one day,
yeah.
Just like I have to have one day when I don't do the radio, and that day, it's Wednesdays, I also don't do confessions, because then I'm catching up on a lot of mm-hmm. other stuff that piles up. And then there's other things that go on. I mean, this isn't the, but I always say if I've had the Mass, if I've even been on radio, as difficult sometimes it is coming in and as scattered as I might be all over the place, but if I do the radio and if I hear confessions,
yeah.
Then regardless, anything else that happened during the day, any other, you know, confusion or chaos, and there's a lot of chaos and confusion, the day is complete.
Mm-hmm.
The day is complete. I can look back and I say, okay, I fulfilled my basic obligation, my basic responsibilities.
Right.
For the day, but it is. But the beautiful thing is, it's just, and this is the great gift of the priesthood, I think, too. You know, it's to be able to see that. But it's not unique to the priesthood, because if we could all understand it, this is as Sean McAfee was writing, this veteran who wasn't deployed,
right.
And that bothered him until he realized or remembered what his father and his father-in-law said, that somebody's got to. You know, there's got to be boots on the ground right here at home, you know, to safeguard and protect. And the point is that he expounds on the mission of the laity, that each and every one of us, we have opportunities, you know. If we could just be kind to people,
mm-hmm.
You know, when you think about what you can do in the course of a day to make a person's life a little bit better. Because there's certain people don't want to hear the priest speak. You know, a confession's unique. That's a confession.
Yeah.
People that come to confess, that's a very mm-hmm. unique. It's a sacramental moment. It's mm-hmm. but to show kindness is a sacramental moment, isn't it?
Yes.
It's an encounter with God. We allow people an encounter with God is good.
Yes.
God is loving, and so we can't underestimate the power. We all know that from our own experience. How we may be having a really really bad day, and somebody. Just gives us a sense of ourself,
yes.
gives us or treats us with a dignity or calls us by name, you know, acknowledging that we have a name, you know, that we're, you know what I'm saying? So there's many opportunities every day.
And this is where sins of omission can really do us in. Sins of commission, the things we do that are wrong, yes, I acknowledge that. But it's the things that I don't do that I could do, which would right. show that I have kindness mm-hmm. toward other people.
You know, it goes back to what we were saying yesterday about the seven, well, today too, you know. In fact, that was the gospel that I wanted to go back to. You know, Jesus said to the disciples, things that cause sin will inevitably occur, but woe to the one through whom they occur. And he's talking about really scandal, mm-hmm. you know, scandal. He said you're going to have scandal, but you're not going to be able to avoid that, sad to say. But woe to the one through whom it occurs. It'd be better for him that a millstone be put around his neck and be thrown yeah. into the sea and drowned. Very strong words to mm-hmm. impress upon us the importance of avoiding scandal
yeah.
and to live in the grace of God and a virtuous life, a life of principles and morals and conscious of who we are in relation to others, right? But, you know, the seven sins, you know, because then Jesus goes on to say, you know, be on your guard. And if your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he wrongs you seven times in one day, returns to you seven times, saying, I'm sorry, you should forgive him seven times. But again, Peter says, you know, should I forgive my brother seven times? He says, no, 70 times seven. But when we say, you know, okay, all right, if a just man sins seven times a day, and I said, okay, at the end of the day, we do this examination of conscience, what it's so often the sins of omission, mm-hmm. as you said, these are the how the sins can multiply in the course of a day when we
yes.
don't, when we could have been more kind, more understanding, more considerate. We could have gone out of our way to help somebody.
Instead of ignoring the other person.
Exactly. We could spend a little bit more time in prayer, be
yes.
more conscious of God. You know, those things, those very important things, part of our life. But in the gospel, Jesus and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. In other words, help us. So we're asking this. Lord, when I say, you know, Lord, show us a way.
Yeah.
It's the same way I say, increase our faith. You know, help me to be the disciple you want me to be. Help me to get out of the way. Help me, don't let me be the impediment or the barrier that keeps from others the good and the beauty that you are, the truth that you are. And Jesus, he says, you know, but if your faith is the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. If your faith is, if your faith is the size of a mustard, it can move a mountain. But yes, faith so that we don't commit scandal, so that we don't diminish others,
right.
diminish ourselves, so that we be ambassadors, authentic witnesses, true disciples, but knowing that we are flawed, that we be always a forgiving people. Forgive us as we forgive those who offend us. No? Anyway, you know what? We're out of time. That's it. Done. Over. We'll be back tomorrow, God willing. Almighty God bless all of you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
Time is now, the winds have changed.